Well, I'm very thankful today for all of those, just this morning. Just in Steve helping direct our thoughts this morning, and Tony leading us in these songs, and Jerry opening our eyes to the importance of the sacrifice of Jesus. And I'm just very thankful for everyone and their gifts and their willingness to use them to help the whole body. And so, what? They'll be the first to tell you, these guys are not the most important parts of the body, but God has blessed them, and they're willing to use them for all of us. And so I hope that that's an encouragement for you, that wherever he has blessed you, that you use that for the good of others. Because we got a great example of that today, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm glad that you are here. It is a good day. It's an exciting day. And we are, as we enter in, well, we're going to see if this week might not just be a little holier than last week, all right? So let's go to our Father in prayer together, and then we're going to get into the Word. Our Father in heaven, we praise your name. Father, you are the Holy One. And we sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah for everything that you've done and everything that you have promised to do. We ask, Father, that you increase our faith today so that no matter what we face this week, we will sing the same songs. We will trust you with the same hearts filled with joy. And we will know that you are leading us to good. Father, thank you for making us your children. Thank you for blessing us with your salvation. Father, we praise your name together. And as we look closely at Jesus today, I pray that our hearts are encouraged to walk with him. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Well, it is along with our theme of actively pursuing Christ this year, but this week we're going to do something a little bit different. Today, we are going to walk with Jesus in his final week in the body, in his flesh. Today, we are going to join him as he enters Jerusalem for his death. Okay? So today is the lesson about the entry, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's also been called Palm Sunday. Right? Now, what I'm going to provide for you, and we'll probably have it at the back door and we'll hand them out, but I've also made up a reading for this week. Okay? Something that you can follow along with every day of this week. What I really want us to focus on is walking with Jesus through his final week and living that with him. Now, I'm going to do something different, okay? Because I want you this week, I want you to be a spectator. You know, a lot of times we end with, hey, you need to be active, walking with him, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that, you need to be walking like him. This week, I just want you to walk with him. I want you to spectate. I want you to take notice. I want you to experience what he is going through. We spend enough of our weeks focusing on what we are going through. This week, I want you to focus on what he is going through. And so what I've done is I've given you a reading. If you got a family, hey, just, you know, make it 30 minutes this week, each evening. Read it together as a family. All right? Or just start the morning with it. Whatever. Whatever you want to do, we'll have these for you. But there is, and it's not a devotional thing. It's just scripture. Each day it has two or three sections of scripture, and then it kind of shows you what's going on, what Jesus is going through each of the days of his final week. So today together, we are going to see this entrance into Jerusalem, and then as we follow along this week, when we come together next week and celebrate the resurrection from the dead, my hope is that all of this week in preparation will bring us closer to what he is going through for our benefit and for the benefit of the world, so that we can walk closer with him, okay? So this is what I would like to do this week. All right, again, turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, but as you do these readings this week, I do want to encourage you, all right? This is really where I believe that you will get the most out of it. Let Jesus be the star this week. So often we read stuff in the Bible and we're like, okay, what do I got to do? Where do I got to go? What do I need to take from it? Just let Jesus be the star this week, okay? Take in his story. That is what is important. That's what's important. So we're going to start his story in Luke chapter 19 today. Luke chapter 19, go to verse 11. In Luke chapter 19, verse 11, and just like Steve was helping us out this morning, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and he is getting ready to celebrate Passover. Passover is one of the high holidays in which God's people came to Jerusalem, and Passover was specifically celebrating the end of their captivity by Egypt. They had been slaves to Egypt for over 400 years. God had finally heard their cries, seen enough, and he was going to deliver them. We get the plagues, and then the final plague. God says, all right, you need to take a lamb, spread the blood over your door, and my angel is coming through to strike down the firstborn of every family, man and beast. And you will be protected by the blood of the lamb. So that's where Passover comes from. And now Jesus is going to take that Passover celebration, and he is coming into Jerusalem, and we have all of his life and his ministry and all the conflict, both earthly that he has with specifically the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the religious Jews. His conflict with them is coming to a head. And now he is also coming to celebrate with his disciples. And he, knowing what is going to happen, is going to enter into Jerusalem for this last time. And in Luke chapter 19 and verse 11, he tells a story. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. All right, he's coming to town, and the people that are following him is like, okay, this is it. This is it. I mean, we're going to put him on his throne, and he's going to take over, and it's all going to be good, and it's all going to be perfect. No more problems, and yeah. And Jesus says, okay, well, I got to tell you a story. And he tells this story, and he says, a nobleman went away to receive a kingdom. And he left his servants in charge of certain things. And he says, while I'm away, do business with what I've given you. And then he mentions his citizens. In fact, it says specifically in verse 14 of Luke 19, his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Again, Jesus is telling the story. Okay, disciples, those of you that have put your faith in me, this is what you need to be doing. I'm about to go away. I'm going to receive a kingdom, and I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I'm going to check your work. You ever sat in a classroom where the teacher said, okay, here's the assignment. I have to go next door, so I expect you to get this done. Or you've been at a job unsupervised, and your supervisor says, hey, I got to go check on the other job site. And while I'm gone, I need this pile of stuff moved over here to make a pile over. I need this pile moved over to this area. But you're unsupervised. When I come back, I'm going to see how you did. We've all been in those situations where someone gave us responsibility and then went away. And when we knew they were coming back, we wanted to get paid, right? Hey, I'm going to check your work at the end of the day, at the end of the week, see how you do. That's what Jesus says to his disciples. I'm going to give you some work, give you some responsibility, be faithful with that, and I'm going away. His citizens, and of course, these were the religious Jews that are standing in opposition saying, we don't recognize this guy. This guy is messing with what we've got going on. We don't want him to lead over us. And so this story comes back, and he rewards those who are faithful. He takes away from the ones that are not faithful. And then look what he says down in verse 26. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So again, there is a call to faith. While Jesus is gone, receiving his kingdom, getting everything ready, Okay, we are walking by faith. He has put things into our hands. He has put things into our lives to be faithful with and to make it grow. Make it grow. To be doing His work. And then He says in verse 27, "But as for those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me." So if you're on Team Jesus, you better be busy with His work, right? If you're not on Team Jesus, it's not going to end well. And now He comes into Jerusalem. So now He is entering into town. And again, Jerusalem, this is the town for God's king. And He is coming in. Verse 28, "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away and found it just as he has told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.' And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a borrowed colt. And all of his disciples are so excited, they take their outer coats off and they put them on the ground. I mean, even this unridden young horse or donkey that Jesus is sitting on should not just get his hooves dirty on this dusty road. But our coats, we'll put them down. And then we'll see this morning in the other Gospels where we get the name today is Palm Sunday. Because in some of the accounts, they're out there, and the one that Steve read from Mark, they did the same thing. They went out in the field, and they cut those palm branches down, and they set those palm branches to let Jesus walk in on this, what was a simple dirt road leading into a city. They were exalting it in any way that they could. They were sacrificing themselves. They were finding whatever was around them in God's creation and saying, "This is worthy. This is worthy to set at the feet of Jesus." And again, this is in a great contrast, but at the same time, Jesus is showing his disciples what it really looks like in God's eternal kingdom. Because Steve pointed out for us, I mean, when Caesar shows up to a town, it was shameful to let him enter the gates of the city without you going to see him. And so they would run out of town and greet him as he came in. And it was pomp and circumstance, and the horns are blowing, and just, you know, the king is here. Everybody here that would have seen this in Jerusalem, they would have witnessed this with Caesar. They would have seen and heard the crowd stand up and say, "Caesar is Lord. And Caesar is here." And now Jesus comes in, but he doesn't have all the pomp and circumstance. He says, "Hey, I'm your king, and it doesn't matter. I can ride on this little baby horse. But that's not that important. But the true king is here. The king has arrived." And when the king has arrived, everything is okay. When the king is present, then everything is going to be okay. And church, as you follow him through this week, in those readings this week, you, like his disciples, are going to question, wait a minute, how can he say that everything is okay? Everything looks like it's falling apart. And that is such an amazing lesson for each and every one of us, because the king is here and everything is okay. You and I cannot allow what is going on around our lives this week or any week in particular. Our faith must not question that the king is here. Jesus is Lord. Blessed be the name of the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He has made peace for us in heaven. All is right between our Creator and us because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So what is happening around us, if citizens hate his rule, so be it. If they try to end his life, if they try to end my life, so be it. If enemies are still present, it's okay, because I know the king has said when he returns what shall happen to his enemies. They don't have a chance. And again, that doesn't make me angry. It doesn't make me angry at the world and say, oh, all these nasty people, they're going to get theirs. That's not the heart of Jesus, is it? No, it's not. It's not. The heart of Jesus is he comes into town and he weeps. He weeps and says, if you had only known what was here right in front of you. Church, are you used to walking by faith and you used to living a life in which not everyone around you gets it? We have people around us every day. They don't get it. Their eyes haven't been opened. Their hearts have not been touched by the good news of Jesus. And we're among them every single day. And it's very tempting not to become callous towards them. It's very tempting not to go, yeah, you're going to get yours. Because Jesus wins. Our hearts should break, just like Jesus. Our hearts should break and say, I am praying that your eyes are opened so that when Jesus visits you, you will be receptive. That you will come to know the truth of salvation. That you will come to know the life that God has offered us through his Son. I want everyone to know what I know. And some people are going to respond as the enemies respond. Hey, shut that up. That's enough. Just be quiet, all right? Nobody wants to hear that. We sang the song. We did sing the song this morning, right? Bless the hills and rocks. Hey, look, I'm just joining in on the chorus of all of creation to know the king is here. The king is here. I can't help but cry out. I can't help but praise God and say, Hosanna, and join in the eternal chorus. God has sent his Son to us. He is here, and he is the king. Do not be like one of those later in the week. Oh, I don't know, Wednesday, Thursday-ish. They start to question. Well, this doesn't look like a kingdom that I recognize. This doesn't feel very safe. I think I better run away from this kingdom. He comes in on a colt. He's walking on palm branches and coats. His kingdom doesn't look like the kingdoms of this world. But the promise to us, church, is that his kingdom is eternal. So open your eyes, open your hearts, and take notice of what God is doing. Because it doesn't always look like you and I think it should look. And we fall into the trap of just like everybody else and say, well, no, I know exactly how God does things. And I know exactly what it's going to look like when God takes care of this and when God acts in this direction and when God does this. His ways are so far above our ways. And the problem is, he has told us what it takes to be saved, how to respond to him correctly, right? And the things that he has given to us, and so we go, okay, I got that. I got it all worked out. But then we make the mistake of saying, okay, since I have got God, I've got the Bible worked out, and I got it all, I understand it all. And I know all these things that he has told me to do, and I got them all worked out right here. So I guess if I've got all of God's teachings and all of God's ways fit in this comfortable little box, I guess there's room to just put God in that little box too. And you and I go around and we live our lives, and there's no more wonder. There's no more surprise. There's no more, whoa, what is God doing here? I love that in Luke chapter 19, this is just a surprise. What? What? I mean, yeah, it looks kind of like what things look like, but, and yet, it doesn't look anything like that. He's on a borrowed colt, and he's walking on branches and coats. It's very informal. And so it has the echoes of this thing that I'm used to seeing, and yet it's so different. It's so different. So, the Pharisees say, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus says, Jerusalem will perish because they didn't know that the Lord had visited. AD 70, this is historical, Jerusalem gets destroyed. It gets destroyed. And Jesus is saying, look, you were God's city. You were God's people. But you need to open your eyes to what God is doing. If not, you risk being destroyed. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1. Now, if we read a similar story in more than one gospel, pay attention to the details. Matthew 21, 1 says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. All right, again, the details. Matthew is going to be more of a Jewish gospel. Hence, Matthew is the one that's going to bring in the prophecy made by Zechariah. Zechariah? That Ben read for us. This would have been about, it would have been given by God, written down about 500 years before the life of Jesus, where God tells the prophet, hey, this is what you're looking for. When the Messiah comes, he's not going to come with all that pomp and circumstance. He's going to come in on a beast of burden, on the child of a beast of burden. This is how you're going to know. So Matthew brings that detail in, and he literally writes the Old Testament verses in this. Excuse me. He writes the Old Testament verses in his gospel, and he says in verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. He says, look, you should recognize this. Everybody should recognize this. God has told you this. You've been reading your Bibles for hundreds of years. You should know what to look for. Okay? And here he is, the daughter of Zion, that is Jerusalem. Your king is here, but he's a humble king. He's a humble king. Well, that's different, right? A king is, why would a king be humble? He's over everyone. Why would you be humble? Does a boss need to be humble? No, he's a boss, right? Again, that's a whole nother discussion. But this king is humble. And so, go down to their hosannas. Verse 9. Who's their hosanna to? Son of David. This is a little bit different than Luke, is it not? Why? Because David's a hero. David's the first and really the only true king that Jerusalem has had, right? He's the one. He's the man after God's own heart. He is God's king. And now here we have Jesus, this guy from, and he mentions in the last verse, yeah, but he's that prophet from Nazareth. He's still got that stigma. He's not of, you know, a royal bloodline that we would expect a king to come from. But this is the line of David. He is God's king. The whole city is shook. And as Jesus enters Jerusalem as king, he's recognized by his followers and he's known by those who believe. And as he enters Jerusalem, this is a problem. This is a problem for his enemies. Those who would rather protect their earthly things that they have built rather than to accept him as Lord and Savior. And I'll ask you this question, church. When you became a Christian, did that change your life in any way? When you became a Christian, did it change how you make decisions of things that you allowed yourself to do or not to do? Right? You took him as Savior, but you also took him as Lord. You said, you're my king. I got to get on your way of doing things. I can no longer just do things the way I want to do them. And so the same thing. The people, the religious Jews that had taken God's law and taken his religion, if you will, and turned it into something that God really didn't recognize anymore. And they said, hey, this is how we control everybody. This is how we get all of their money. This is how we live comfortably. And this is how God loves us more than everybody else. Well, all of those people, when Jesus shows up, they said, we can't have this. This is not good for our business. Okay? What do you got to do? You got to crush the competition. That's where they're going with this. Jesus has come to die for the sins of the world, and he has a few short days to finish his purpose in the world. Now, side note. Children, this one's for you. If your parents listen in and get something from it, fantastic. Kids, this one's for you. All right. You know how you get up and you get ready and you go to school and your mama just gives you a kiss and tells you how much she loves you? Tells you what an awesome kid you are? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. And we're just like, oh, I mean, we're just walking out the door or, you know, we're getting dropped off at school and just going, don't, Mom. It's embarrassing. But your parents look at you and they say, you are fantastic. You are awesome. I love you so much. And I hope you have a great day. And you go to school and you encounter someone who does not share your mama's opinion. Doesn't take very long, does it? And someone is just mean to you. And they say something nasty to you. Or they tell you that you're no good. Or they tell you, you know what, I don't care what your mama says, you're not that pretty. Or I don't care what your mama says, you're not that special. And everybody around you just starts talking down to you, right? And then you come back and you see your mama, and your mama's the same one that she sent you there. And now you come back to her and your mama's like, yay, how was your day? It was miserable, right? Why? Because you had to listen to all those other voices telling you how worthless you were. And you forgot. What did you forget? You forgot your mama's voice that very morning said, I love you. You are awesome. I can't wait to see you later. You forgot because you listened to everybody else talking all day long. Now, that's a very important lesson, kids, because Jesus comes into Jerusalem and they are singing his song. They are saying, you are king. Hosanna, you deserve all the praise that we can give you in the world. You are in charge. But you know what? In a few short days, Jesus is going to be hanging on the cross. And everyone's going to be looking at it going, wait a minute, I thought you were king. I thought you were in charge. This doesn't look like in charge. And they all ran away. They all got scared. They didn't believe what Jesus said. They listen to everybody else. So kids, I want you to remember. I want you to remember how awesome you are. And when you hear someone else tell you that you are not loved or you're not great or there's something wrong with you, you remember your mama's voice louder than every other voice. You remember your daddy's voice louder than every other voice. You remember your Father in heaven's voice saying, "You are my child. I love you and you are awesome." It doesn't matter what they say. God is in control. Parents, I hope you were listening. But that's real. That is real. Because we send them out every day and we tell them over and over, "I love you. You are awesome. Have a great day." And we come together every Sunday, and I try to tell you, I'm not as good as your mama, but I try to tell you that Jesus loves you, and you are awesome, you are His child, you are favored above everyone else in this world. And yet you're going to go out this week, and you're going to go to school, and you're going to go to work, and you're going to meet nasty people, and you're going to see some of those citizens that that refuse the rule of Christ. And they're going to tell you something different. And you're going to have to decide in that moment, whose voice are you listening to? Are you going to listen to those nasty people in the world and give them any bit of power over your heart and what you feel in here and what you see in the mirror? Or are you going to listen to the voice of your Father in heaven who said, "I love you so much, I'm going to send Jesus down for you. And everything bad that you have done, He's going to take the punishment. So that you can be my beloved child and we can be close. And so that you will never doubt His love yous ever again." Whose voice are we going to listen to this week? And it's going to get hard. It's going to get hard because you're still going to have to go to school and you're going to go to work tomorrow. And it's going to get hard because you're going to follow along these verses and go, "What are they doing to Jesus?" It's horrible. The story is awful. But church, I want to encourage you, do not be like those disciples who could sing Hosanna on Sunday and run away on Thursday and Friday. Do not do that. Because our King has spoken. It may not always look like He's in control, but guess what? That's how He works. It may not look like He's always striking down your enemies, but guess what? He is the King who weeps, who is brokenhearted over those who go against Him. He truly is the one that looks at us when we mess up and says, "You know, this hurts me more than it hurts you." Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. I feel like this year I've read a lot from Philippians chapter 2, but I really can't get this section of Scripture out of my heart as we're trying to follow Him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." All right, church, here it is. You are free to believe what Jesus says, no matter what happens to you this week. You are free to decide, "I'm going to believe what Jesus says about me, no matter what anybody else says. I'm going to believe what Jesus has promised to me, no matter how my life, this country, this world looks. Doesn't matter. I'm going to believe what Jesus has said, because I have His mind." Verse 6, "Who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And church, that's what we're looking at this week. We are looking at the Son of God, who was right there with God, nothing holding Him back, and yet He willfully took the form that we hold, so that He could even be obedient to God and die for us. You can't kill God. But He came in the body. He came in the flesh to experience life as we do. and he made himself vulnerable so that he could die for us. And that's the reading that you're going to be involved in this week as you walk with him through all those steps. And then next Sunday, we're going to celebrate verse 9, the therefore. All this week is going to be painful. There's going to be a lot of stinging. But next week is coming. Next week is the therefore. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because we walk with Jesus this week, we know next week is coming. Because we are familiar with the story and we are going to walk in his steps, but we're not going to walk in his steps as one that says, oh, look, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to do exactly what Jesus. No. You're going to be a witness. You're going to be a witness this week. You're just going to watch. Okay? You will be tempted. You will be tempted this week to go ahead of Jesus. I encourage you, don't do that. Walk with him and be a witness. Take it in. See it. Hear it. Believe it. Jesus is the servant who left heaven and is obedient to the cross. And this week we invite you to walk with him. Feel his steps of obedience as one who benefits from his death. This week is for you. This week is how much God loves you. This week is his gift to you. And this week I need you to know that love. I need you to open your heart and let that love come in. It's kind of necessary. All right? It's kind of necessary to be loved by God. That's the only way that we, walking with him, are going to have the heart of God. You have to be loved by him first to be able to love others like him. Don't rush ahead. Let his love fill your steps this week as you join him in the story. I want you to take the mind of Christ, and I want you to trust the Father in your life. Every single day this week, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the one who Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be our King. His kingdom is eternal. His kingdom lasts forever. There are those of us that are in his kingdom, and yeah, some of us probably need to work a little bit better, need to be a little bit faithful with what we, a little more faithful with what we're given. And some of us this morning may be enemies. Luke chapter 19. I didn't put that one here, but you may want to go back and just, you know, read that one. Jesus says, look, I can be your king. I want to be your king, and you need to know how this all turns out. There's only one kingdom that will stand. All other kingdoms will fall. So we have to be in the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom, the one that lasts forever. So this week, believers, walk with him. Enjoy the benefit of every step that he takes for you. Okay? If you're not a believer this morning and you need to be one, then we invite you to taste and know his gift and his sacrifice for you. And we invite you to put your hope and your belief and trust in him. We invite you to confess him as Lord and to trust his death so you don't have to. If you are not a Christian, we invite you to accept his salvation. So this week, we are not walking alone. There's going to be several of us every day reading and walking with Jesus together. Know that. Okay? Not only are we walking with him, we're walking with each other. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. So, if you need to respond today, we're giving you that opportunity. I'll pick a couple volunteers, and we'll have the reading list. I'll have them at the back door so you can get your copy on the way out. All right? Any questions? Great.